Hello and welcome to another episode of the NESG Radio. Today we'll be discussing a subject that has remained a concern for economies globally, and that's the subject of food safety. According to the World Health Organization, over 600 million people globally suffer from foodborne illnesses on an annual basis. In Nigeria, challenges such as poor food handling practices, inadequate storage and transportation systems, weak enforcement of food safety standards, and limited public awareness continue to increase food safety risk. And that's why on the 7th of June every year, we celebrate the World Food Safety Day to raise awareness about the importance of safe food and its direct impact on public health. This year, we'll be discussing the theme From Burden to Solutions, Safe Food Everywhere. This subject emphasizes the need to move from identifying food safety challenges to implementing practical solutions to reduce foodborne diseases and strengthen food systems. And with me today, I have Mr. Aziz Salawu, who will be doing justice to this topic. Mr. Aziz, you're welcome.
Thank you very much. That's number one.
Thank you for joining this conversation. Food safety continues to be a major public health and economic concern in Nigeria. From your perspective, what are the biggest food safety challenges currently affecting the country's food system?
Thank you very much for that question. For me, I would say that food safety challenges in Nigeria are deeply systemic and covering the entire food value chain, you know, from production to processing, transportation, retail, even down to consumption. One of the biggest challenges is the dominance of the informal sector. A large percentage of Nigerians depends on, you know, open markets, roadside vendors, small-scale food businesses, you know, for their daily food access across the country. So while these actors are critical, you know, to livelihood and food access, especially in this part of the world, many operates, you know, with limited access to food safety trainings, infrastructure, and even regulatory oversight. Another major challenge is poor post-harvest handling and storage system. You know, inadequate cold storage infrastructure, the poor transportation system, and unsafe storage conditions, you know, continue to increase contamination risk and also contribute to food spoilage and also, you know, foodborne illnesses. We are also seeing increasing concerns, you know, really around unsafe pesticide and chemical use, food adulteration, counterfeit food products, poor hygiene practices, especially when it comes to food handling, weak traceability system, limited, consumer awareness, you know, around these food safety standards, you know. And when we also talk about, when we go to the, you know, institutional level, coordination between, regulatory agencies, enforcement, you know, gaps, and also limited investment in food safety infrastructure, you know, continue to weaken the system and it continues to affect all of us. Importantly, when it comes to the issue of food safety, it is not really only about, health issues. It is also an economic issue in the sense that, you know, unsafe food affects productivity. It increases, you know, health costs and also undermine trust, you know, in our local food systems, thereby limiting, you know, Nigeria's competitiveness in regional and international markets. Thank you.
You know, that's the issue about the food value chain. Nigeria's food value chain is largely driven by informal markets, you know, SMEs, street food vendors, like you mentioned earlier. So that brings the question, how can the country improve food safety standards while protecting the livelihoods of, you know, these categories of people?
Well, I think we need to be very deliberate if we really want to, you know, improve our food safety standard. And for this to happen, Nigeria must adopt a balanced approach, you know, that combines regulation with inclusion and also capacity building. The informal sector should not simply be viewed as a problem, you know, to regulate, but also as an important ecosystem that really helps to support millions of livelihood and also provide affordable food access, you know, to all strata of citizens across the country. So what is needed is a gradual formalization through education, incentives, and practical support for this, you know, informal sector. First, there's need for us to really, talk about widespread food safety awareness, training that targeted at, you know, market women in the different markets, especially at the local markets, you know, food processors, transporters, and also street vendors, because they are part of the people that actually form this informal sector we are talking about. Many unsafe practices are linked more to lack of knowledge and infrastructure, you know, than internal negligence, and we need to really take note of this. So secondly, the government and also, you know, different partners, development partners, private sector actor, and other stakeholders really need to start looking at investments in clean market infrastructure, water and, sanitation system, cold storage, and also preservative facilities across various markets, and, you know, a very strategic waste management system. So with all of this put in place, it would really go a long way to help us, you know, curb some of these things we're actually talking about. The third one is the regulatory agencies, which is actually very important for them to, you know, adopt more supportive and risk-based approaches, particularly for SMEs. You know, instead of only, you know, strong enforcement, you know, measures, there should be, you know, supports like, you know, certification support, simplified compliance system, access to affordable testing services. With this, it would really help, you know, a lot of SMEs to really, you know, understand some of this process and start adopting them. Also, digital platforms and cooperative models can also, you know, help small businesses improve traceability, quality assurance, and also market access. Because whether we like it or not, improving food safety should not, you know, come at the expense of our livelihood, because at the end of the day, the goal should be, you know, to help businesses grow safely and also sustainably. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I think that I really love a number of things that you mentioned. You know, I also play in the MSME space, and in the subject of how to treat this businesses, even though a lot of them are in the informal sector, has continued to generate, you know, debates and all. And you mentioned a number of things I would like to, you know, bring back again. The gradual formalization bit of things. And I think that if it is also tied to, you know, the support for certification, you know, this standardization and certification issue, if it can now be, there's an opportunity for you to get standardized along with getting formally registered, it can be, you know, something that maybe the government wants to look at. And you also mentioned the issue about capacity building. You know, a lot of these informal businesses are probably not as educated. What do you think about, you know, the trying the kind of education or, you know, awareness that are delivered in local languages? What would you say to that? Because, you know, I like the fact that you mentioned, you know, going to meet them where they are, the marketplaces, that's where they are. A number of them would not want to leave their markets, you know, for a workshop. But, you know, what would be your reaction to this?
Thank you very much. I think for me, awareness, you know, there are different kind of awareness. So for the informal sector actors, I think talking about awareness, there is need for us to really you know, understand what actually works for them, because just like we understand that they are informal actors, and whether we like it or not, they with some of these things they do, they also, you know, earn a lot of you know, living, or it helps to improve their livelihood. So awareness for me to them is really about understanding where they're actually coming from, especially, you know, for example, now if you are engaging market women, you would not, you know, want to just barge into the market and just start talking to market women. You identify maybe their leaders and you know, take them to the process of what is really, you know, what we're actually trying to, the message we are trying to pass, and then from there get the buy-in of the leaders, then from there move, you know, to the market women to, you know, pass different messages. And you know, we need to also structure the kind of messages we're actually passing to them, because the message you pass to, you know, someone, you know, selling vegetables, and you know, some of the vegetables or you know, easily gets you know, perish. It's different from the message you pass to someone maybe you know, selling some buckets or some other things. So now we are really focusing on food safety. So if we are passing the messages, we have to make sure that the messages are passed in a very simplified form that they are easily going to be able to understand and start, you know, thinking that, oh, it's something they can actually, you know, start adopting. And you know, when it comes to the issue of adoption does not happen immediately. It takes time. And that is why you know, talking about, you know, the enforcement, the regulatory agencies need to, you know, take some of these things bit by bit, working with the local authorities, making sure that, you know, they are even welcome to even, you know, take the awareness we really want to pass to them. And with this awareness, it's really going to change a lot of things, because they are also human beings and their health is also usually at stake. So the way we structure our awareness will determine whether they want to adopt it long term or short term, or just listen to us and still continue their old habits. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I like the fact that you have now moved into adoption. And that's going to lead to, you know, this question. With the increasing concern around food adulteration, poor handling of food, and, you know, foodborne diseases, what practical solutions can the government, regulators, and industry stakeholders prioritize to strengthen consumer protection?
Yeah, thank you very much. So just like I mentioned, strengthening consumer protection requires coordinated actions across, you know, policy enforcement, education or awareness, and also infrastructure. First of all, Nigeria needs stronger enforcement of existing food safety regulations. You know, agencies like NAFDAC, SON, and, you know, some state public health authorities, you know, require better coordination, you know, data sharing, and operational capacity. You agree with me that even some of these, you know, MDAs are not even willing to work together. But then when we are now looking at, you know, the common good of everyone, our health, which really comes first, there is need for us to, you know, see how we can actually, you know, do well or do better in terms of, you know, coordination, you know, sharing data, and also, you know, working together to really make some of these things work. And secondly, there is a need for an increased investment in food testing laboratories. And when we talk about, you know, investment, it's really does not have to happen at the national level. All of these things, you know, should happen at the subnational level. It is part of what local governments, you know, authorities should be taking up, because some of those things will happen at different local government areas, you know, moving down to the states and also now, you know, margin up at the national level. So there is need for increased investments in, you know, testing laboratories, food testing laboratories, surveillance system, and also rapid response, you know, mechanisms for foodborne diseases outbreak, because it is very important for us to take note of all of these things. And if we don't have the right infrastructure, we are really not going to, you know, move from one point to the other. We'll still continue to, you know, rigmarole around the challenges or the problem. There's also need for, you know, a very strategic public education, which is really critical, you know, for consumer needs to be better aware around, you know, safe food handling. And the issue is not really that we are really not aware about some of these things, because the major thing is that there is nothing really triggering us to do what is right as at when due. So there's need for a very strong awareness around food labeling and in expiry dates. So one thing is for a brand to say that this is when this thing is actually going to be expire. Another thing is for maybe regulatory agencies, or there should be something like a mechanisms to really ascertain that yes, this is really correct, it's certain, and it can be it can be monitored. So, you know, and when there is a lot of awareness, especially for consumers around all of these things, now there will be a lot of reawakening, and they'll start asking questions and prompting those producers or manufacturers to do the right thing, even when nobody is really watching them. There's also need, you know, for awareness around the risk associated with adulterated products, also safe storage practices, especially at the household levels. So all of these things may sound simple, but then consumers are not, or do not take, you know, cognizance of all of these things, and it's at the end of the day, or in turn, affect all of us. Also, there's need, you know, to strengthen accountability across supply chain. Supply chain, talking about food businesses, processors, distributors, all of them and others must prioritize quality assurance and traceability, which is really going to help us do a lot of, good, especially in terms of, keeping our food safe. There's also a strong need to support local innovations, you know, especially around post-harvest management and preservation technologies, you know, and many contamination risks, you know, usually arise because some of this food that we consume spend a lot of time, in unsafe storage or transport condition. You can imagine, tomato coming from the north down to this, south or the west, and it's taking maybe 5 days because of maybe bad roads, because the vehicle or the transport or the logistics, broke down in the middle of the road, or maybe because, you know, anything can actually happen. So there's need for us to make sure that we really support our local innovations that would really help, you know, address some of these issues. Finally, food safety should be integrated more intentionally with national food security and agricultural policies, because whether we like it or not, yes, they work hand in hand, but then there's need for us to be intentional about the health, the status of the food we consume, because a food system cannot be truly secure if it's really unsafe. So we need to do a lot more better around that area. Thank you.
You touched on technology adoption somewhere when you were talking about the supply chain and the need to, you know, encourage local innovation. So technology and innovation are transforming food systems globally. What opportunity do you see, you know, for Nigeria, especially, you know, beyond the supply chain? I know you've touched on, you know, encouraging local innovation, you know, to, you know, address the supply chain issues. What other opportunities do you see tech and innovation playing to, you know, also help as practical solutions to address food safety issues in Nigeria?
Well, for me, I would say that Nigeria has enormous opportunities to leverage technology to strengthen our food safety systems. So at the moment, you know, digital traceability systems, if properly, you know, structured and put in place, you know, can help us, you know, track food products from farm to markets, improve transparency and accountability across the, you know, food systems value chain. But then when we talk about, you know, traceability or digital traceability, it has to do with maybe blockchain technology and all of those things. For us to really have that work in Nigeria, or maybe starting with maybe a state or one or two states, there's need for us to take our data very, very seriously, because without data, you know, it would be really difficult to, you know, try out some of these things. But then talking about generally, technology can actually help us, you know, improve our inventory and storage monitoring. It can really help to, you know, manage cold chain technology, you know, market information system, and, you know, early warning and also surveillance system, because whether we like it or not, these are the things that we actually need. And it may interest you to know that some of these things, you know, are happening already. For example, my organization, we are currently implementing a project which we call incorporating blockchain technology to smart solar dryers for smallholder farmers. And what we are just trying to do is to actually see how we can actually create a very awesome system where farmers are able to track how they are, you know, drying their produce, which really helps to, you know, sustain or improve the shelf life, and also, you know, traceability systems to say that, oh, this produce is coming from farm A, and as it has been transported for sale to plant B, and, you know, farmers are able to trace, we're able to know where the product is actually, you know, going from, we are able to know where it is actually, you know, been planted and all of those things. So that is what we're actually currently piloting, and, you know, we have a lot of, you know, opportunity, especially for young people and SMEs, talking about mobile bills, food tracking system, smart storage solutions, you know, the blockchain and enable traceability that I mentioned, and also even AI-driven, you know, food monitoring and quality assurance. Like I said, we need to take our data systems very seriously, because one major challenge in Nigeria is limited availability of real-time data, you know, on food contamination, post-harvest losses, you know, foodborne diseases, and this is to call on the relevant agencies to really be intentional about, you know, making sure that we have real-time data that can be used to do a lot of things and provide a lot of solution, you know, because better data improves decision making and also targeted intervention. Importantly, innovation must be accessible and scalable, and you know, for it to be accessible and scalable, we must really invest in our local innovations. Technology, if we really want it to work, should be adapted to local realities and affordable for SMEs and also smallholder actors, if we really want it to be sustainable. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and well done. It's good to know that, like you said, some of these initiatives have started, and, you know, the good work that you are doing, you know, in your organization. So as we wrap up, I would like to ask, what would a stronger, safer, and more resilient food system in Nigeria look like to you? And what do you think we need to achieve it?
For me, a stronger food systems or food safety systems for Nigeria would be one where safe food is not a privilege, but a guarantee for all citizens, which is part of why we are really pushing for the right to food bill implementation. And in the next few years, we should aim for a better coordinated food safety governance a reduced foodborne disease outbreak, improved market and storage infrastructure, a stronger testing and surveillance system, increased compliance, with our food safety standards, and we should also, see stronger young people participation, greater private sector investments, and also increased adoption of some of these innovation-driven solutions. And for us to really achieve all of this, Nigeria must prioritize a very serious investment in food safety infrastructure and laboratories across the country, across the different local governments and states. Public awareness and education is really key. Stronger enforcement and institutional coordination is also very important. Research and innovation, so that our local innovations can really be followed up and be scaled. Then support for SMEs and informal food sector is really critical, because whether we like it or not, we can really not do without the informal sector. Also, integration of the food safety into national development planning, especially at the subnational level. There are different activities going on around our food safety, across the country, but there is need for a very strong coordination. And our food safety must move from being treated as a secondary issue to being recognized as a foundation for public health, economic resilience, trade, and national development. And for us to really, do all of this, we must have that mindset that safe food everywhere is achievable, but it requires collective responsibility, sustained investments, and real practical implementation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And on that note, I want to say thank you for your time. And we'll be going home with the last, statement you made. Safe food is achievable everywhere. It just requires, collaborative efforts. And thank you for your time and, the opportunity to speak here. We hope to see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the conversation today. To listen to more episodes from the NESG Radio, kindly visit nesgroup.org/radio. Thank you.